Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Hey, turn in your Bibles today, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 4. We're continuing a series today that we've been doing for the last, since I guess the beginning of the year. It's been going on almost 3 months, entitled Dream Again. But the reason it's been going so long is because we don't believe it's just a series here at Canvas Church. We believe it's something God is speaking. All the young people, you can go to your class. Please forgive me. Go ahead. Come on. We need a dream again, young people. We believe it's not just a series, but it's something that God is speaking to us. And I've been talking to some of my friends that pastor other churches and hearing what they're discussing in their services as well. It's something that God's doing in the body of Christ. I really believe that he wants us to dream again. He wants us to dream big dreams. And once again, as we're in this series, we're not just talking about thinking of something really grand and really great and dreaming about that and going after that. What we're talking about is going after the things of God. We're talking about laying hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of you. What is the plan that God has for your life? What is the dream that God has for you? Let's dream that. Let's go after that. And if we go after that together as a community, man, I believe something powerful is going to happen and is already happening. Had a great testimony this morning from one of our ministry team partners. As I walked in, they came over, they're like, "Pastor Ben, I got to tell you, when we started this series, I'm like, life's good. I don't really know what I'm supposed to dream about or dream again, but I would have never known what God was going to do." They had some family they had never met, never were connected with, and she began to share with me that they found them in the Philippines and got connected, and they're going to make their first trip, come on, this year to the Philippines to visit family they've never, ever seen before, and God just supernaturally connected them, and that was a fulfillment of something they had longed for and had dreamed about in the past. And I'm just hearing incredible stories like this all about. I just want you to know something, that as we're doing this series, my wife and I, the staff here at Canvas Church, we're truly pumped about what God is doing here in Canvas Church and in our city and in your life. And so please keep the testimonies coming. Keep sharing them with us. Keep sending them. Keep emailing them. Find us in the hallway. Share with us what God is doing in your life, because it's so important to hear, and it's so important to know about. But as we jump into 2 Kings chapter 4 today, if you don't have your notes yet, man, you can open up your app right now and click on the notes. We got some notes there for you. And what we've been doing over the last several weeks is we've been literally tackling some different things. We've been overcoming the obstacles and the roadblocks that get in our way that are put there by the enemy. Now, we got to understand something, that this journey that we're on as we pursue the things of God, as we're dreaming again and just laying hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of us, it's a very spiritual journey. And there really is a real God seated in heaven. He's seated in heaven. The Bible says it. The heavens are his throne and the earth is his footstool, man. He is real. And guess what? The Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father, living to make intercession for us. There really is a big God in heaven that has a great plan for your life. But on the flip side of that, there really is an enemy. We're not talking about people. We're talking about a spiritual enemy. That there really is a spiritual enemy that would love to keep you from obtaining the things that God has for you. And so as we're in this journey pursuing the things of God, there will be roadblocks. There will be obstacles. Just know they're going to happen. Okay? They're going to be there. Okay? And so we're never going to be able to avoid them. And so I'm not going to preach to you messages about how you can avoid all of the obstacles and roadblocks in your way. But what I want to do is I want to help equip us to know what to do when they come and how we can overcome them and what we need to possess and how we can navigate when that begins to happen in our life. And so we've been learning from this woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, simply known as the Shunammite woman. Her story is such a powerful one because, as we know now, she was unable to have a son, but she wanted to have a son. Every woman of that time did, because having a son meant that she had a male figure in her life that would carry on the family lineage, carry on the heritage, carry on the business, and that would be there to protect her if her husband was ever gone. And so she longed for this, but she was unable to have this. All of a sudden, one day, God does a miracle and provides this son. And we began to read on in the story over the last couple weeks that some 12, 13, 14 years into having this son, that the son dies. And we talked about that last week and her response to that and what she did as we began to overcome this obstacle called delay. Well, today I want to continue to read this story. We'll go back to verse 8 and get some context. I want to continue to read this story, and I want to help us overcome another obstacle today. 2 Kings chapter 4, starting in verse 8. And it says, "One day Elisha," this is the man of God, the prophet, "went to Shunem. A prominent woman who lived there persuaded him to eat some food. So whenever he passed by, he stopped there to eat. Then she said to her husband, I know that the one who often passes by here is a holy man of God. So let us make a small room upstairs and put a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp there for him. Everybody say for him. Come on, that wasn't everybody. Everybody say for him. Okay? Okay, this is built for him. And I want you to highlight that in your mind because we're going to come back to that thought. Let us put it there for him. Whenever he comes, he can stay there. One day he came there and stopped and went to the room upstairs to lie down. He ordered his attendant Gehazi, call the Shunammite woman. And so he called her and she stood before him. Then he said to Gehazi, say to her, look, you've gone to all this trouble for us. What can we do for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? And she answered, I'm living among my own people. In other words, she said, I'm fine. I don't need anything. So he asked, then what should be done for Gehazi? Answered, well, she has no son and her husband is old. In other words, here's something she wants, but look, it's not going to happen. Call her, Elisha said. So Gehazi called her and she stood in the doorway. And Elisha said, at this time next year, you will have a son in your arms. And now we're going to see by her response how painful this is, this idea of dreaming again, this idea of something I've wanted and I've never obtained, and what she would have to walk through, that process. And we see this pain in her response. Then she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not deceive your servant. Don't lie to me. Don't deceive me. I've had this thought before, but it's not going to happen. I've chalked it up to experience. Verse 17, the woman conceived and gave birth to a son at the same time the following year as Elisha had promised her. Verse 18, then the child grew one day and went out one day to his father and the harvesters. And suddenly he complained to his father, my head, my head. His father told his servant, carry him to his mother. And so he picked him up and took him to his mother. The child sat on her lap until noon and then died. And I want to encourage you, if you missed last week's message, man, go back, listen to last week's message and this woman's response in her moment of pain, in her moment of turmoil. And what do you do when that which you had chalked up to experience and moved on and now you have it only to lose it again? What do you do? What's your response? How do you get through this? Verse 21. Then she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut him in, and left. She summoned her husband and said, please send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys so I may hurry to the man of God and then come back. But he said, why go to him today? It's not new moon or it's not the Sabbath. In other words, it's not a time of celebration. It's not a time to go get a word. It's not a time for that. And she replied, everything is all right. Then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, hurry, don't slow the pace for me unless I tell you. So she set out and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And when the man of God saw her at a distance, he said to his attendant Gehazi, look, there's the Shunammite woman. Run out to meet her and ask, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your son all right? And she answered, everything is all right. When she came up to the man of God at the mountain, she clung to his feet. Gehazi came to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She is in severe anguish, and the Lord has hidden it from me. He hasn't told me. Then she said, did I ask my Lord for a son? Didn't I say, don't deceive me? And so Elisha said to Gehazi, tuck your mantle under your belt and take the staff, my staff, and go. If you meet anyone, don't stop to greet him. And if a man greets you, don't answer him. Then place my staff on the boy's face. And the boy's mother said to Elisha, as the Lord lives and as yourself live, I will not leave you. Look at this now. She had a plan. She knew where she was going. She knew what she was after. She knew what she wanted. She wasn't going to be detoured by anything else. She wasn't going to accept anything else. And here she watches this scenario play out in front of her as she's there. And she came for one thing, and that was the man of God. And there she is. And the man of God says, hey, to Gehazi, take my staff. You go, Gehazi, you take the staff and you go. But her response, listen to it now. Listen, I want to read it again. The boy's mother said, as the Lord lives and as yourself live, I will not leave you. I did not come here for the staff. I did not come here for the servant. I came for one thing and one thing only, the one that promised this for me, the one that I built the upper room for. And if you're staying here, I'm staying here. I ain't going anywhere. So he got up and he followed her. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much, God, for your word. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. It's living. It's active. Man, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, I pray in the next few moments that, God, we would catch the text. We would understand what you're speaking to us today so that we could walk out of here knowing you better and the plan that you have for our life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. I'm not leaving without you. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to be detoured by anything. I came for one thing and one thing only, she said, and that is you. That is you. I want to talk to you for the next few moments on the idea of overcoming detours in our lives. Has anybody ever faced a detour before? You're driving down the road. Come on, you see a detour? Like, no, none of you? Well, I need to take your route, right? Like, you're driving, and like, you're going, and all of a sudden, you see the big orange sign with an arrow, and it says, detour. Now, I have yet to meet somebody that when they see that sign, they're like, yeah, adventure. No, we're usually like, are you kidding me? I got somewhere to be. I got a place to go. This is going to set me back. I might get to where I'm headed, but I'm not going to get there in the time that I had planned. No one celebrates when they see a detour. No, we get a little bit anxious. We get a little bit like, are you kidding me? I got a place to be. We don't like seeing those big orange signs in our life either, do we? We don't like seeing this. I remember about a month ago, my wife and I, you might not know this, but my wife and I are part of a thing called ARC, Association of Related Churches. That's what helped plant Canvas Church 5 years ago. And in that process, someone as a part of ARC helped coach us into that process. And so we're a part of ARC, and we thought, man, we want to give back. And so we've been coaching church planters for some time. As a matter of fact, we got two that we're coaching right now. One's planting in the Sacramento area. One's planting in Orange County. We're going to hopefully bring them in so you can see them, hear from them. We can pray for them and bless them with some money and get them off the ground. And so we have this opportunity, this privilege of coaching them. And so last month, they flew us to the headquarters where ARC is at in Birmingham, Alabama. And so we're going out there to strategize and do some stuff. And we took a later flight because it was the most affordable one. And so we took a later flight. And because of the time difference, we got there like at 11 o'clock at night. And, dinners on planes aren't that great, are they? Right? Meals on planes. And plus, they cost a lot. We're like, we'll just wait, right? We pack some snacks, and we'll just wait. And we'll get food when we get there. And we got there at 11. And realizing that in a small city, everything shuts down real early. Come on, somebody, right? So we get there, and 11 o'clock, we get in, and we're going to go get our car. And so we get to where we're going to pick up our car, and the rental car is closed. Yeah. And why it's closed, I don't know, because it asks you to select a time in which you would like to pick up the car. Why do they give you that time if they're going to be closed, right? Right? And so we selected, we get there and it's closed, only to find out that, okay, well, if you go over here, you can find. So like around midnight, right? Like we finally get our car, and I'm going to be honest with you. At this point, my wife is hangry. Come on, somebody. And it runs in the family. If anyone knows her brother, man, it runs in the family. I'm trying to console her and calm her down and say, baby, you ever heard of a thing called fasting? Come on. Let's get it. I'm just, you know. Actually, I was the one getting hangry. I was so hangry. I was not happy. I'm just like, I want some food, right? Everything's shut down the airport. So we get on the road, like, hey, first things first, let's find some food. And as we're driving down the freeway, I kid you not, like every exit that Siri is telling us to take. Now, normally Siri's treated me all right, okay? But this time Siri is like an epic failure. And it's like, exit 22. And I'm like, I can't exit 22. It's shut down, Siri. You know you're hangry when you start yelling at Siri. Are you with me right now? I'm like, woman? Come on, son. I have the female version, right? My wife has the male version, so she can say, listen to me, man. You don't know what you're talking about, right? And so Siri's talking to me. I'm yelling at Siri, and it's like, you pass that exit, and it says, get off of the next one, detour. I'm like, are you kidding me, right? And literally what should have been a 15-minute drive to our hotel took us 45 minutes. So now we show up at our hotel about 12:45, and I am literally dragging myself in. I'm like, oh, I'm so hungry. Right? To get up to the counter, now I got a headache, I'm hungry and hangry. My wife doesn't even want to, she's like, you go check in, I'm coming in later, right? Like, and nothing's open. And so you know what we do? We end up settling for peanuts and chocolate. Come on, somebody. Because it was the only thing they sold in that little convenience store at the hotel. I was just like, where is my steak and garlic mashed potatoes? No. We got detoured. Now, here's the thing. Had I went back to the emails the ARK sent me, they would have warned me about the detours. There's some construction going on in our city. Here's the quickest route to your hotel. Here's the problem. I didn't read the plan, and I didn't listen to the plan. Can I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen? Here's where we get off in our spiritual life. We stop reading the plan. We stop following the plan. And if we would just read the plan and follow the plan, we will make it to our destination, even in spite of the detours that the enemy tries to throw at us. Because here's the thing. Normally, Siri does me all right. Normally, Siri's like, hey, approaching an accident, take this route instead. Approaching this, take this route instead. But you know what? I didn't listen to the instructions. I didn't follow the instruction they had sent. And because of that, not only did I get detoured, not only did I make it. Yes, I made it to my intended destination. I made it there later than I thought. And here's what I began to do. I began to settle for things that I didn't even want. And that will happen in our spiritual journey. If we do not read the plan and stick to the plan. Read the plan and stick to the plan. You know why we need to read this thing daily? Because life is changing daily. Roadblocks come up, but you know what? I got the Bible. And I'm following the plan. Because I'm following the plan. The enemy throws detours at me. We're going to navigate right around those detours. Here's this woman in 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, the reason she was able to avoid the detour. The reason she was able to navigate around the detour. What's the detour? The detour. Listen, she had a plan. What was her plan? I'm going after the man of God. She gets on her way, and someone says, hey, where are you going? What does she say? It's all right. I'm not going to be detoured. She gets further in her journey. The servant comes up, asks her, hey, is everything all right? What does she say? Everything's all right. Why? Because I'm not going to be detoured in my journey. She gets to the man of God. She wants the man of God to come back. And the man of God says to her servant, hey, servant, says to the servant, hey, servant, here you go. You take my staff, this dead dry stick, go lay that on the boy. And she says, uh-uh, it ain't happening. I'm not leaving without you. She doesn't get detoured in that moment. She doesn't settle for something less. When you begin to settle for something less, you begin to get detoured. And as you get detoured, you continue to settle for something less. She doesn't get detoured. The man of God says, hey, Gehazi, take this. And she said, uh-uh, I did not build that upper room for your servant. I did not build that upper room for your staff. I built that upper room for you and you only. Unless you come with me, I'm not going back to that place. Because you're the only one. Because you gave the promise. I'm not being detoured. She wasn't detoured because she had a plan. And she stuck to the plan. I believe with all my heart that in this spiritual journey, as we're going after the things of God, we're going after the plans of God. Listen to me. The one way that we can keep from being detoured is as if we have a plan and we continue to stick to the plan. Are you with me this morning? Have a plan. And continue to stick to the plan. I didn't open up those emails and read the plan. Instead, I was like, we got this. We got this. The minute you begin to say, you got this, it's a huge red flag that you are on a detour. You ain't got this. Many of you start saying, I got marriage figured out. You've been married for about 5 weeks. I got my season of singleness all planned out. I'm going to stay single for this long. Then I'm going to get married. Then I'm going to have kids. Then I'm going to have. You're on a detour. Detours. Got to have a plan. And you got to stick to the plan. This woman was not detoured because she had a plan. And she stuck to the plan. Are you with me this morning? Here's the great news for you. The Bible gives us a plan. The Bible gives us a plan. And how to keep from the detours that the enemy would like to throw at us. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to read to you the plan. I want to read to you the plan so that you can look at it, know it, and continue to stick to the plan. So listen to what he says. This is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. This, finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Isn't that a great verse right there? Be strengthened by the Lord. I love this. And by his, it doesn't just say strength, his vast strength. Put on the full armor of mom. Put on the full armor of dad. No. Put on the full armor of your pastor. Look at what it says here. Put on your full, no, listen to what it says. Put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor. Whose armor is it? God's. So that you can stand against the tactics, the schemes, the plans, the detours, the delays, the distractions, the obstacles of the devil. Put it on. Put on whose armor? God's. Why? So that you can stand against the enemy's tactics. What are his tactics? Man, he's got detours for your life. For our battle, listen to now, for our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers, this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of. How many times is that in there, man? It's like, okay, it's God's armor. We got it. So that you may be able to resist in the evil day. Did you see that? So that you'll be able to resist if the evil day? No, so you'll be able to resist in the evil day. What does that tell us? It's coming. It's coming. It's not like, hey, if it happens to happen, it's a good idea that you have some armor hanging in your closet. So like if you can just run to your closet real quick and you can just put it on. Get all dressed up, maybe Sunday morning. Everybody can check out your armor. Now look at what it says. It is coming. And because it is coming, detours are coming. They're going to be there. Obstacles are coming. It's going to happen. And so here's the plan, church. Here's the plan. Here's what we're going to do. Love this now. Check this out. He actually begins to give us what the armor is. And now you got to picture this. This is Paul, the great apostle, penned two-thirds of the New Testament, and he is in a detour. He is literally sitting in a Roman prison as he writes the church at Ephesus. And as he's sitting in the Roman prison writing the church at Ephesus, he begins to look around at his cell, and he begins to see the bars, and then he begins to look up, and he sees the armed guard standing there. And he begins to use the armed guard as his imagery as he begins to write to the church saying, church, be ready for the detour. Such a good message. Put on the full armor of God. The evil day's coming. And having prepared everything to take your stand, stand therefore, and here it is, as he's looking at the armed guard. Stand therefore with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with the readiness from the gospel of peace. In every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it, you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Verse 18, not on the screen. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Paul gives us the plan. He gives us three things to put on, and he gives us three things to take up. Three things to put on, three that. He's looking at that armed guard. Church, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. No, we're wrestling a spiritual battle, and there are going to be spiritual obstacles and detours that try. So here's what we got to do, just like this guy right here, just like my armed guard, we got to put something on. The very first thing he says, listen to it now, he says, put on the belt of truth. Put on the belt of truth. I got a belt on this morning. See it? I don't pull it up too high. You see my belly. Modesty's best. I got a belt. You don't have a belt on? Because the belt holds my pants up. Right? So everybody right now is very thankful I have a belt on. You know what the belt does? The belt is what holds everything together. The belt is the one piece that has the little notches in it, right? So as you grow spiritually, you can loosen it up a little bit. It's got the notches in there. Why does it have notches in there? It has notches in there so you can cinch that thing up nice and tight because it holds everything together. The belt of truth is like spiritual Spanx. Come on, somebody. The people laughing are like, oh, I know what Spanx is. Other people aren't laughing because they don't want you to know that they know what Spanx is. What is Spanx? It's that undergarment you can get, right? That you put on that just... Like if I had one on right now underneath, it would look like I was buff and had a chest. It just sucks everything together. Someone's like, no, it doesn't. Tried it. He says, put on truth, because truth is what holds everything together in your life. When it feels like things are gonna fall apart, don't worry about it. You got truth. When it feels like everything's caving in around you, you know what I mean? You better cinch up the belt of truth. This is the belt. He calls it the belt. Why? Because listen to me, truth holds everything together in your life. Now you got to catch this. You got to remember this ain't your mom's armor. This ain't your dad's armor. This ain't your pastor's armor. Come on, the Bible says this is the armor of God. This is the truth of God. This is God's truth. This is what God is saying. This is what God is speaking. This is who God is. Put that on and it holds everything else together. Notice it doesn't say put on the belt of your feelings. Put on the belt of truth that you have identified works for you in your life. We are going to be very jacked up individually and as a culture, which we probably are, if we are putting on the belt of feelings. If this feels right, so that's truth. This feels good. I mean, this works for me. This is my belt. I got my belt. Go find yours. No, there's one belt. It's the belt of truth. It's God's truth. Listen, if we start navigating and we start trying to get around detours based on feelings, we're hurting. Let me help you out, okay? Because if I was to just rule my life by feelings, man, there are days I feel like blessing people. How you doing, brother? God's good. And there are days I feel like knocking people out. And you laugh because you've been there too. Right? You feel like, if we based everything on feelings, ain't nobody married in here. You were married for a brief bit, but then you felt like not being married. We're hurting. If we base things on feelings, we're hurting. And so Paul says, you want everything to be held together in your life? You want everything to be, you want everything to happen, want it to work. Here's where it's got to start. It's got to start with the truth of God's word. And it's got to go there and it's got to stay there. And you got to base it on that. And if you base it on that, you're going to be all right. Because the truth of God, the belt of truth, it holds everything together. It holds everything together. Now listen to me though. You can't have a saggy belt of truth. There's a reason why those notches are in a belt. Pull that thing down. You can't. Listen, when you start loosening up the belt and everything starts sagging, I know it was a popular fad in the 90s, okay? For some of you, I won't take a poll. Some people think it still is popular, okay? They loosen their belt, right? Pants down to here. You know what that does? It causes you to walk funny. Right? And then plus you can just see all the undergarments. Ain't no one want to see your boxers. Ain't no one want to see your briefs. And remember, crack kills. Come on, somebody. Nobody want to see that. You know what happens when you start sagging the belt of truth? Like, oh, I got a little bit of truth. You know what happens? You start walking funny. And you're just delaying yourself in the journey. Right? You know what happens when we start sagging the truth? Here's what happens. This happens too often. You got to hear this because this is supposed to be the truth of God. This is the armor of God. And so we're putting on the God's belt of truth. But here's what happens so often is because we get the belt of the truth of our church. We get the belt of the truth of our, you know, whatever it is, school we went to. Here's what happens. All of a sudden now I begin to read this Bible through the belt of the truth of my church. Rather than taking the truth of God's word and looking at what my church is preaching through the truth of God's word. What happens is we have this thing called theology, the study of God and his existence, right? Like we're studying God. And what happens is we go to schools or we go to churches and we develop our theology of what we believe. And then what happens is we begin to read the Bible through the theology of what we believe. And therefore it says what we want it to say. Rather than saying, I got the truth of God's word and I'm going to look at everything else through that filter. I want you to know something because some people ask me, what's your theology? Here's my theology. It's the Bible. That is it. Man, if it says it in the word of God, I believe it. If it says it in the word of God, I want to live it. If it says it in the word of God, that is, it's the truth of God's word. We cannot live by our feelings. You can't live by your feelings. You can't live by your feelings. You start sagging the truth and living by your feelings. Now, you can't, let me put it to you this way. Here's what happens, because you end up in a bad place when you start living by bits of truth and everything's sagging. Because here's the thing, my wife, she loves vegetables. Anybody here love vegetables? I just think it's weird. I mean, you have to eat them, but you really love them. She loves vegetables. Specifically, she loves corn. Any corn lovers out there? Okay, she loves corn. Now, what you need to know is she really loves corn of the popped variety. Otherwise known as popcorn. Right? She loves popcorn. But it's not just popcorn. She loves, like, if she goes to a popcorn store, ever seen those store popcorn stores? And they got cheddar corn, caramel corn, kettle corn, chocolate corn, like the zebra corn. It's corn, right? It's corn, all right. But man, it is dipped in all sorts of other stuff, and it's got caramel, and it's got chocolate, and it's got salted caramel, and it's like, oh, I love my vegetables. It would not be fair to go to the doctor when the doctor says, hey, have you been eating your vegetables? Oh, yeah, I've been eating them. I love corn. Eat it all the time. You're going to kill yourself with that popcorn. You might as well remove the vegetable and just take a spoonful of caramel, chocolate, and salt and just shove it down your throat. That way none of it gets stuck in your teeth either. See, you say, oh, I love the truth. When it's dipped in chocolate and caramel. See, if you sag it, are you with me this morning? And you come to church, oh, Pastor, I'm living by the truth. I love vegetables. No, no, we need the truth. It's our guiding light. It's our guiding source. You ever talk to a pilot in the military? They'll tell you that without those little gauges and instruments they have in the plane, or without the watchtower, the flight tower, man, they could be thinking they're going the right direction. And all of a sudden, they're going through the clouds, thinking they're heading the right direction, and everything's good, and they know where they're headed, only to fly out of the clouds, realize they're upside down, about ready to fly into a mountain. But because they don't fly by their feelings, but because they fly by outside navigational sources, they can now know that they are flying in the right direction, right side up. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. We need something outside of ourselves. If we just base it on our feelings, we will be going through circumstances and detours thinking we're heading the right direction and everything's okay, only to come out upside down, about ready to crash into a mountain. We need the guiding light of God's truth that cinches everything up tight, holds everything together, and keeps us moving in the right direction. Listen to what the Bible says. Listen to what it says. It says this in John 8:32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Paul says, hey, this is where it starts. You want to get around the tactics of the enemy? Want to deal with the detours that he's going to throw your way? First and foremost, you got to cinch up the belt of truth. Put on the belt of truth. Secondly, as he's looking at the armed guard, you need to make sure that you put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put it on. Man, put on that breastplate. What is the breastplate of righteousness? Righteousness, what is it? It's me being in right standing with God and with others, but I can never be in right standing with God and others without knowing first the truth, because righteousness is the truth in action in my life. When I begin to hear the truth and I begin to walk out the truth, I'm literally beginning to put the breastplate of righteousness on me as I begin to make right decisions, because I can make them now based on the truth that is cinched up in my life. And as I begin to make right decisions, I begin to live righteously. And as I'm living righteously, I'm literally putting on the breastplate of righteousness. What does the breastplate do? It protects the heart. And we got to guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. I put on the breastplate of righteousness by making right decisions and making right choices, and I'm in right standing with God and with others, and all of a sudden, man, I got this breastplate of righteousness. It is guarding me. It is protecting me. Know this, though. It is not your righteousness. It is God's righteousness. And it says, hey, you've got to put it on. But in order to put that breastplate of righteousness on, you've got to take your righteousness off. It is an exchange that takes place. You cannot take on the righteousness of God until you're willing to put aside your own. It's the righteousness of God. It's God's armor. Are you with me this morning? It's the breastplate, and I got to put it on. And if I'd be willing to take off mine, because you know what mine is? Mine's garbage. Mine's garbage. That's what mine is. His, beautiful. When we put his on, we're protected. Now we have things operating, but ours is garbage. And you know what? Some of us aren't willing to take that garbage out. And let me put it this way. Has anybody in here ever had anything in their house that smelled before? And not your children, we know, but I mean, like anybody, like, you, right? Like you do wake up and you smell, so you're like, man, something smells. Where's that coming from? Anybody ever been there before? And you're like, what, man? And you walk around sniffing the house. You're like, where's that? You open the fridge. You open the cupboards. Like, I smell something. I can't quite figure it out. But you have company coming over. You don't want your house to smell. So you get out the Febreze. Come on, somebody. Right? And you just start Febrezing the out of your place. The smell. Come on, people. Right? You're just... And people could be like, oh, your house smells so good. Thank you. Right? And then they leave, and a couple hours later, you're going, man, where's that smell coming from? Because here's the deal. You can Febreze all you want. It'll cover it momentarily, But until you're willing to find out where the smell is coming from and get the garbage out of your house, that smell is going to keep coming back over and over and over and over again. See, some of us live our spiritual life like that. We're not willing to deal with the junk in our life. And so we just walk around Febrezing ourselves. Typically on Sunday morning before we come to church. And we Febreze away. Like this is. And you come in and people are like, oh, you look so great. Oh, everything's going good. Yeah. Awesome. Everything's all right. Pastor, preach a message. That's my response. And then you walk out of here, and your life stinks. Because here's the problem. It's not just the smell that's the problem. Maybe that's the issue. Maybe we try to deal with the smell. But see, the garbage in your life, it's not just the smell that's the problem. It's what it attracts. The garbage in your life, what does garbage in your house attract? Roaches, rodents, flies, those little pesky ones. You swat it, and you're like, I got it. Only to tomorrow to realize there's more, and you're like, oh, gosh. And you don't know if it's their brother, their sister, their aunt, their uncle, but you're just like, where did you come from? Because you know garbage attracts stuff. So you're just walking around. Man, worship was so good, Febreze. Man, the message was like over the top. You guys didn't hear that one. The message was over. Right? You're just like, oh my gosh, so good. Just Febrezing away. And then you wonder why when you leave and you go throughout your life, why does this stuff keep happening in my life? Why do I seem to attract these type of people? Why do these circumstances continue to happen? I just don't get it. What's going on? What's going on is we're not willing to deal with the garbage in our life. We just continue to put Febreze on it, hoping nobody notices it. But until you are willing to deal with the garbage and the junk in your life, you will continue to attract all sorts of things that you don't want in your life. We have to be willing to take off our righteousness and put on his righteousness, man. Listen to Isaiah 59:14, because it all starts with truth. Justice is turned back and righteousness stands far off. Why? Because truth has stumbled in the public square and honesty cannot enter. Truth is gone. And when truth is gone, there's no righteousness. Put on the belt of truth. Begin to live it out. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Listen to what he says thirdly. He says, put on the shoes of peace. Put on the shoes of peace. When you ground yourself in truth and you live righteously, your steps are ordered by God. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man or a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And it all starts when you begin to cinch things up nice and tight with the belt of truth. And then you begin to walk it out and you begin to live righteously. And as you begin to do that, you will find yourselves in moments of detours, but you will not have unrest. You will not have unsettledness. You will have peace because a righteous person's steps are being ordered by God. Therefore, you can walk through obscure places and unknown seasons with absolute peace in your heart because you're living in truth, you're walking in righteousness, and there are steps of a righteous man and woman are ordered by the Lord. This woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, she had a plan. What was the plan? Man, I ain't going nowhere unless you come with me because I did not build that upper room for your servant or for your staff or for anything else. I built that upper room for you, so I'm sticking to the plan. You and I, we got to stick to the plan. Listen, do not settle. Man, too often times we settle. She could have settled for the staff and said, okay, thank you. I'm on my way now. Too often times we settle. We settle in our life. We settle in our life. We settle for the hand of God rather than pursuing the face of God. We settle for a great worship service. We settle for a great message. We settle for this thing and we settle for that thing. Listen to me, man, great services and worship sets and preaching, they are a tool to point you to one person, the person of Jesus Christ. It is not about good preaching. It is not about good worship. It is not about a good community. It's not about a good small group. All of those things are tools and they need to point you to the one that is good, the Lord Jesus Christ. If not, we are settling for the hand rather than the person in the face of Jesus Christ. We settle, but God doesn't want us to settle. I don't want you to settle as your pastor. I want you to continue to push on and lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of you. And if you stick to the plan and you cinch up the belt of truth and you put on the breastplate of righteousness, you will have peace in your life and you will continue to walk forward in the great things that God has for you. Lord, we thank you for your word today. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. God, we thank you that your word is wonderful. Hallelujah. Do me a favor, church, just stand to your feet. Hallelujah. God, your word is so good. Man. God, I pray, Lord, that Canvas Church will be a church that knows how to cinch truth up tight. Not allow things to be sagging in our life. And I pray we would walk with boldness because we have the breastplate of righteousness on. Listen to me, church. This thought just came to me. You know, the Bible says that the righteous are as bold as lions. The reason the righteous are as bold as lions is because righteousness is a breastplate. When you're going into battle, you can go into battle knowing my heart's guarded. I got the body armor on. I'm going into battle, but you know, I have confidence, that boldness. Because I'm protected. Still remember when I was like 8 years old and me and my brother, or not 8 years old, in eighth grade, me and my brother, one of the things we'd do is we'd watch football on a Sunday and then we'd go get a football and we'd go play one-on-one football. It's real difficult, but we'd do it. Especially making passes, that was difficult. We'd go out there with nothing on. I mean, as far as football stuff. We'd line up against each other, and we would never go full out and hit each other. Why? Because we didn't have pads, we didn't have a helmet. And so we're afraid of getting hurt. I remember going into my ninth grade year when I was playing football. My brother decided to play too, both tried out, both got on the football team. I remember our first time coming home with our pads and our helmet. Now we put those pads on, we put that helmet on, and we went at it. It was like a whole new world. It was like, this is awesome. What changed? We had the armor on. We could play with a new passion. We could play with a new boldness. Listen, some of you aren't moving forward with boldness and passion because righteousness is not in your life. You're not living right before God. You're not living right before others. It's not an issue of boldness, it's an issue of righteousness. Because the righteous are as bold as lions. And there'll be a new confidence that comes on you if you surrender to the righteousness of God. There'll be, just like there was when me and my brother put on those pads and that helmet, there'll be a new boldness and a new confidence that comes on you. You've been praying for boldness, you've been praying for confidence. It's not a boldness and confidence, it's a righteousness issue. For some of you, it goes all the way back to the truth. Truth is sagging in your life. It's slowing you down. It's time to cinch up the belt of truth and to begin to live for Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. God, we thank you for your word. Lord, I lift up every person in this place right now. And God, I pray that we would take this message and we would think about it this week. And God, some of us need to go one more on the belt loop. So Lord, I pray we would. I pray that righteousness would prevail and peace would lead us. Lord, I pray for all those that are struggling this morning in this, that today they would find all that they're looking for in you. pray, God, that we would not be detoured by the tactics of the enemy, that we would not be slowed down. Listen to me, that's what the enemy wants to do. If he can't keep you from getting to your destination, he wants to slow you down so you get late there. It's a detour. God, we thank you for your word that's going to help us navigate these moments. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.